Welcome to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast with your host, Troy Izmir. This program is based on the connection between physical health and faith-centered principles. If you take care of your body, you take care of your spirit, you will draw on God's strength to help you get in the best physical and spiritual shape of your life. Now, here is Troy Izmir.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is your host, Troy Izmir, and today's podcast is in partnership with Faith and Fitness Magazine, which can be found at faithandfitness.net. My guest today is Jay Jones, and he has an article where he was interviewed at Faith and Fitness Magazine. And Jay is a certified peak performance coach and fitness minister, educating others of the benefits of a healthy lifestyle, proper nutrition, fitness training, and incorporating faith to achieve your health and fitness goals. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you so much, Troy. It's absolute joy and a pleasure to be here, good sir.
It's great to have you here. And as is the tradition on the Divine Wellness Academy podcast, I always like to hear from my guests, what is one of your favorite scriptures and why does that scripture resonate with you today?
Beautiful. Well, there's many, of course, but one that resonates with me and one that I love to use when I'm training and teaching is Romans 12:2, and that's one that a lot of people are very familiar with. It simply says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasant, perfect will. And simply put, a lot of the training that we do, we always sort of mention that it has to be a mental transformation in order for there to be a physical activation of your most successful self. So in order to move your body, your mind has to first improve. So that's a very important lesson that we sort of take from Romans 12:2, and that whole concept of renewing of your mind, transforming your life by renewing your mind is very important to us.
Yeah, it's so important. Our thought life just has such a big role in what we do and how we can transform ourselves from the inside out. So I appreciate you opening up the podcast with that powerful scripture. And you're known as the fitness minister. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the background of how you became the fitness minister.
Absolutely. And that's a very popular question. Most people have not heard of a fitness minister.
I love it, though.
And it was divine, absolutely. It sort of came to me. I've always been into health and wellness. I started off as a football player back in Savannah, Georgia. And I hurt myself in a football. I was injured in a football game. My junior year, I broke my neck in a football game. And the subsequent rehabilitation from an arrogant 17-year-old to a individual who has to wear a brace and not be nearly as strong as I was prior to the accident. And it just took a real mental transformation in order for me to get to a place where I could really understand that God's plan was greater than my own plan. So as I continued to develop, fast forwarding, I became an actor, and I was a stage actor for almost 10 years, actually. And my wife and I moved. We met in New York. We moved to Los Angeles. And while in Los Angeles, I had some sort of a calling to just do something different. I wanted more control over my career. And something was just pulling me in a new direction. And fitness was the foundation of it. But I had become an ordained minister through the process. As going through that rehabilitation process, it created a spiritual awakening. And that spiritual awakening led me to want to do more for other people. So I became an ordained minister, and on top of that, I, while in California, became a certified personal trainer and combined the best of both worlds. And essentially, a fitness minister was born. And fitness minister, in my humble opinion, and there's no real definition, but a fitness minister to me is one who spreads the good news of health and wellness and views the body as a temple of God. And the proper care of that temple through both physical and mental exercise is what I refer to as physical praise and worship. So one of the greatest motivators humankind has had since the advent of humanity is their faith, their belief in something greater than themselves, to move seemingly unsurmountable mountains. So one of the most unsurmountable mountains we experience today in our modern world is this struggle to remain healthy in a sick society. And one of the greatest motivators that we can apply to that mountain is one's faith. So if we believe in something greater than ourselves and trust that our creator has a divine plan, that we can implement that faith. And it doesn't have to be a tremendous amount, just a faith the size of a mustard seed, I was once told. It's just enough to move mountains. So that's what we do as a minister of faith or minister of fitness. And there are a lot of other people who are doing it, but they're just not calling themselves fitness ministers yet. But that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, I may borrow that. I didn't realize you were actually an ordained minister, which I think that is great. And you know, what better way to help people get healthy, not only physically, but spiritually. And I believe people are looking more than just getting, you know, that number on the scale to go down. I think they're looking for something more than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Troy. I agree wholeheartedly. And I think now is the time. You know, we're at the cusp of a tremendous uptick in just the availability of information, you know, the internet and all the different sites and all the different mediums, from what we're doing now on a podcast to tremendous documentaries centered around health and wellness. There's just a lot of information right now that people can access, but you have to be motivated to get it. You know, we live in a high tech but low touch society. So we want to make sure that people are being motivated to continue to be curious about ways to stay healthy. And now is an opportunity for us to do that. So I think, you know, being healthy in this sick society takes more than, of course, just a spiritual side. We have to actually do something in order to maintain the life that God wants us to live.
Yeah, absolutely. And my story is a little similar to yours. And I played college football and I had a very serious knee injury, and that ended my career prematurely. I turned to bodybuilding rather than really awakening my spiritual side, and that happened a little more recently. But I know for me, I certainly lost my identity once I lost myself as a football player and was kind of searching for a period of time. Tell me a little bit about that experience and what that was like and how it forced you to really get out of your comfort zone as being known as an athlete and then trying to have to find yourself.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful question, by the way. You know, that's a very deep question, because a lot of times young men, especially young black men, find their whole manhood centered around their physical prowess. Mm. You know, their ability to play ball, run fast, and that defines your young manhood phase. And of course, I was very similar. It defined mine. I played football ever since I was 8 years old, and it was pretty good. I was actually being recruited by Division I colleges during that time I was injured. So I really could foresee an opportunity, perhaps at least go to college for free, and whatever potential after that, NFL or whatever, that of course was my ultimate goal. But like you mentioned, your whole life is centered around this one objective, to be the greatest football player, and a lot of things fall by the wayside. And if you're lucky enough to have a wonderful coach who gives you those manhood beats along the way, some I did have, some I did not have. You know, in high school, I did not have that type of coach. He was more of a winning, by all means, coach for the final score. And there were other schools and other coaches who had more of an interest in developing the young man. But to really understand how devastating it was to be injured at such a young age, you know, I was immature. I was very arrogant. And it was God's way of sitting me down. I do believe that all things work for the good for those who love and trust God. And I didn't even know I loved and trusted God at that particular time as much as I did. My grandfather was a huge influence in my life, and he was a deacon in the church, and I would go to church with him every Sunday and sit in the front pew with the deacons with him, and, you know, saw firsthand the leadership of the church. So I respected the church, but I'm not quite sure I respected my relationship with the Creator as much. But during my injury, I had to go to a hospital, and it was St. Joseph's Hospital in Savannah, Georgia, and the nurses were nuns. Some of the nurses were nuns, and they would come and they'd pray, and there was a cross in every room. And I had a surgery where they had to graft the bones from the hips and fuse it with the broken bone in the neck in order for it to all heal together. And I got some neck jewelry on the x-rays. People are always flabbergasted.
I saw your video on YouTube, and I definitely, the scar is very, very visible. So you have a constant reminder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in that process of healing, these nurses would come by and they pray. And my mother, of course, was there every night. But the final night, my mother left to go home, because the next day I was to be let go from the hospital, released from the hospital. And that final night, it was something very unique. And I sometimes liken it to whatever they had me on at the time, but it seemed as if the cross in the room, because the cross was always above the television, mm-hmm. It seemed that the cross in the room illuminated. And when it illuminated, it gave me a new sense of purpose and calm, because I was really lost at that particular time. And of course, there were still moments after that incident where I still struggled with the whole identity thing. But after that moment, it seemed to be that everything started to become a lot clearer and calm into something greater in the works. What that was, I wasn't quite sure at that time, but I knew, and there was a faith born in that moment that allowed me to sort of say, okay, whatever God is doing, I'm going to trust and I'm going to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's powerful, and you've lived that out ever since. And, you know, kind of going back to something that you mentioned earlier about, especially guys, that we look for our masculinity through, we'll say, playing football or lifting weights. And I've really been into reading John Eldridge a lot lately, and one of his messages is that true masculinity is spiritual, and we've gotten away from that. So I just wanted to kind of emphasize that point that you made, that, you know, our identity can't be wrapped up in those type of things, and we'll always be searching, but our true identity is wrapped up in God and what He says about us, and that's really being a man.
That's the ultimate manhood. You know, there are phases. You know, like when we're younger, we go through that physical phase where we want to be the best athlete and the strongest guy. And of course, as we get a little older, it becomes a conquest phase where we want to be the ladies' man, you know, and have as many notches on the belt. And of course, that's still very selfish. And as we get older, we look at the wallet, the money phase, you know, how much, you know, do I have in the bank? How many fancy cars do I have in the garage? So we're always looking externally for some sort of edification of value for our manhood, when really it's about the relationship. Because at the end of the day, when you're lying on that bed and life is flashing before you, and you live the life of, you hopefully have lived a life well lived, you're not going to be thinking about the money in the bank too tough. You're not going to be thinking about the cars or the conquest. You're going to be thinking about how much impact you had in others' lives. You know, how many people did you save? How many people did you positively influence? How many people did you help to become successful? And those are the values that are wrapped around true manhood. And again, like you mentioned, Troy, it's all about relationship with your creator, relationship with those around you, and your capacity to love and be loved is what really defines us as men.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to ask you about in the article, Taking the Limits Off in Faith and Fitness Magazine, you have an acronym, and I'll make sure I'm doing this right. It's called 3PME.
Is that correct?
I'd love to hear a little bit more about that acronym and how that came about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is absolutely correct. 3PME is my way to sort of remind myself to practice and remain the 3Ps. I call the 3Ps of persistence, patience, and positivity through the process of life. You know, we have to remain persistent, and persistent is just another way of saying faithful. You know, there are going to be times where we want to give up, give in, give out, and we must remain persistent to our goal, because without that persistence, then there will be no completion. So we have to be persistent, but we have to also be patient. We have to be patient in the process, because our time is not the divine time. You know, a lot of us want it done today, tomorrow, on our time. And of course, we all understand that wanting, that need to want it done immediately. But the reality is, the greatest things that we have in life took time to build. Even our life took 9 months to gestate. So we're never immediate. But the time that we have through the patient process only builds more character. So when we get what we're striving for, we'll be good stewards, or better stewards over it. And then the last P is positivity. We have to remain positive through the process, because, you know, disappointment breeds negativity, and negativity breeds more contentment and bitterness and more disappointment. So if we can keep a smile on our face, I always say the best accessory and the most inexpensive accessory of all to make anybody look instantly more beautiful is simply a smile. You know, you can smile through the pain, or sing a song through the rain, in the rain. You know, all of these things are going to continue to build your character and continue to elevate you. Because I always say, you can float on a bed of negativity forever if you don't allow the negativity to enter the vessel. Very similar to a boat on the water. Tugboat can float forever if the water doesn't infiltrate the vessel. And so can we. Because most people say, we just live in such a negative society. And that could be very well true. But negativity doesn't have to dwell in you.
That's the truth. And you know, it's so relevant to, I think, health and fitness is the persistence and the patience and, of course, the positive attitude. But it's such a struggle, I think, for people to focus on this as a lifestyle and a long-term thing, and especially if you're trying to maybe lose a little bit of weight and you're not seeing instant results and we're bombarded by media. But what a great acronym to kind of put it in perspective, that persistence and patience, and it's really about developing our faith as we go through this change and transformation process, which we're always going through.
Absolutely. The evolution of life. It's the circle of life constantly, and that's the beauty of living. The beauty of living is the opportunity to always continue to evolve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to have more energy, be in peak physical, emotional, and spiritual health, and live a life that honors God? The Divine Wellness Academy 10-week online video course is now available at troyismere.com. The Divine Wellness Academy online course is a biblically-based fitness program that will help you discover the connection between your physical and spiritual health. You'll learn how to be intentional with your health, eat the way God intended, use motion as devotion, manage stress, and look, feel, and perform better than ever before. Go to troyismere.com. That's troyismire.com and enter the promo code DIVINE in all caps to receive a 20% discount. For any questions, contact Troy at troy@troyismere.com.
So, with your clients, how do you incorporate the faith component, and how do you help your clients get healthy in mind, body, and spirit?
Well, one thing we want to do is we always start with the foundation. We say you always build a pyramid from the ground up, and we want to look at our temple as a beautiful pyramid. So we always start with the most important piece, and that's understanding why. Why is it that we're doing this? Is it really just to lose weight? Is it really just to knock those extra pounds off the scale? Or is it to create a healthier lifestyle, to live a higher quality of life, to fulfill your destiny, to allow God to use you? Because remember, God doesn't really work for us. He works through us, and through us, miracles are made for humanity. So we want to be in the best physical condition we can. So we want to really start at the very essence of it all and ask the fundamental questions of why. And not only ask those questions, but we want to articulate them by writing them. You know, in my book, A Little Bit of Something Beats a Whole Lot of Nothing, your 30-day guide to a new healthy habit, we really try to explain to people that the most fundamental thing you can do is something. It's just to do something. It's to start moving. And God will add a supernatural blessing. A supernatural blessing to your natural effort, but he must see you try. So we remind people of their relationship with God and of the expectations that they have of the relationship and the expectations that the Creator has of them. And these aren't expectations that I created and made up. It's universal laws that we speak of. So, you know, we don't want to be trendy. We want to be universal. And that's why we always rely back on the word, you know, and we rely on common sense nutrition. You know, we know if God made it, it's good for you. Mm-hmm. If it rains from heaven, it's manna. And that's what water is. So water is the first thing that should touch your tongue daily. So these are some of the ways we incorporate both the physical and the nutritional piece back to your faith and back to your fitness.
Mm. Yeah, I like the simplicity of the message, but powerful, especially in around the nutrition. And then the why component, I think that's so forgotten. It's like, well, why am I getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go do this class? And I think we need those constant reminders. And again, that why has to be very, very powerful. And what's more powerful than, you know, honoring God and glorifying God by being healthy in mind, body, and spirit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's our cross. Everyone has a cross to bear. You know, everyone has something that they're having to push through and endure and be, you know, persistent, patient, and positive through. Everyone has something, or a few things perhaps. But the relationship with the great Creator should give them the hope and their faith that everything works good. Everything works for the good. Even those times at 5 a.m. when you don't want to get up, when you do get up, you're doing something that is so edifying, not only to your today life, but for your future self as well, because we don't want to just look at the snapshot, but the big picture also is very important. So, you know, your relationship with God and your Creator is very, very essential to keeping that big picture in mind.
Absolutely. And I know in the article you talked about faith, and you also talked about fear. Let's have a conversation around fear and how that keeps us from living the life that we're created to live. And how does fear paralyze people?
Absolutely. There's, you know, we all are at some point in life, at several points in life, we'll have to negotiate with fear. And we can't wish it away. And the reality is fear is, without fear, there could be no courage. Without fear, there could be no conquering, because we have to go up against something that is bigger than us. Without challenge, there will be no change in life. So fear can either be fed or starved in our daily struggles. When we feed our fear, we give in to all the paralyzing aspects of what something, and it may not happen, but something we believe could happen in the future, prevents us from moving in the present. And that's when fear has paralyzed us. It keeps us stagnant and it arrests our development. But we can starve that fear by feeding our faith to such degree that the fear becomes minimal. We know that it exists, but we don't allow it to dictate our movement. We don't allow it to dictate our future, because a lot of times a lot of people have the greatest, we always say that the richest place on earth is not the gold mines or the diamond mines, but it's the cemetery. Because so many of us are so afraid of taking a challenge, of stepping out of our comfort zone, that we go to our graves with the most ingenious inventions, the most powerful speeches, the biggest hearts for change. But that fear has stolen our potential, and we've taken it to the grave with us. So we want to make sure we're maximizing our faith by stepping out on the unknown stair, knowing that it will manifest if we believe it. And if we put enough faith in our ability and the ability that God has indoctrinated us with, that feeding of that faith will help us push through whatever doubt, with whatever distractions and whatever thing that comes our way that tries to minimize our capabilities. So, you know, I think faith is the quintessential remedy for fear, because fear is going to have to be a part in your life, but it doesn't have to paralyze or stop you from manifesting the anointment that you have.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely well said. And, you know, one thing that you mentioned is that uncertainty. And we live, as a Christian, we're called to live a life of uncertainty and risk and taking chances in knowing that God will open doors that are meant to be open. I recently just left a job that I was in, or a career I was in, for 17 years. Very financially stable, just moved out to Colorado, didn't have a job lined up, and just these opportunities and doors are just opening up, and I just, you know, taking that leap of faith, but being wise about it, and it's just living that, taking that risk. It just has kind of blown me away.
Absolutely. And I congratulate you, Troy. I congratulate you for walking out on faith, my dear brother. You know, it is a season for that now. And of course, you do it strategically. You know, you're a wise man, so you use your wise counsel and you do things decently and in order, but you must jump. There is no question that we'll be on the precipice of great things, but we must rely on the parachute that God has packed on each and every one of us. Those gifts and talents that we have stored away will burst open. It's like a mine. It doesn't work until it's open, really. But you don't activate it until you take that leap of faith. And that leap of faith is scary. Yep. But you know that for all things, you know, all things work for the good. So be faithful. And I'm very proud of you, because you're putting the rubber to the road. You're putting your faith in action. And that is the God that we serve. Whenever we speak of God, we speak of a rushing wind or a rolling river or a burning flame or something that is in action. So that's the only way to manifest your true destiny, is to take action. So I'm very proud of you, and congratulations, good sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you definitely have a way with words, fitness minister. That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about bringing that faith into the fitness, that component. I don't know if that's something that you've always done or recently done, but what is the response from your clients when you really bring that faith message into that fitness part of what you're doing?
Well, it's been extremely well received, and we have clients of all different faith status. A lot of my clients are Jewish. We have some Christians. You know, we have two or three Muslim clients as well. So the message is so universal, because it resonates to everybody's belief system, in that they have to have faith in their creator. They have to believe fundamentally that they have been designed perfectly. And in order for them to maximize that perfect design, they've got to do some things. They've got to demonstrate discipline. They've got to demonstrate persistence and patience and positivity. And they've got to realize universally that it's much greater than just losing weight. You know, the example that you're setting for your family members, the relationships that we have. Some clients I've had for almost 9 years. Some of the original people I initially worked with, we're still working via Skype. You know, I used to live in Los Angeles, California. My wife and I moved the family here to Georgia almost 2 years ago. And I still have some of the very same clients in Los Angeles because we utilize the technology via Skype because it's that effective. It's more than just a workout session. It's built for your body, mind, and spirit, and it gives you something to really hold on. After every workout, we do what we call a fitness footnote, where we attach your faith to your fitness in one way or another. And there are fitness footnotes in the book as well. We've created those in a little bit of Something Beats a Whole Lot of Nothing. And those galvanize why you do what you do. Why did this workout mean something to you? You know, are you feeding or fighting disease? Are you helping or hurting your health? And, you know, these little mantras and things that we utilize to help create a sustained commitment to health. We want fitness to be a habit, not a hobby. So you have to do something greater than just go through the motions, but you have to have an investment that's more universal and sustaining. And that's what faith is to everybody, that investment that continues to guide them and keep them moving forward.
Nice. So I ask this question to all my guests, and this is a show of hope. What words of encouragement would you like to share with people who are struggling with taking the limits off of their life?
The message is always universal. Do a little bit of something. A little bit of something beats a whole lot of nothing. What we've done is we've begun to lie to ourselves, especially when it comes to this health and wellness thing. Every year we come first to the, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, I'm going to lose 30 pounds. And the reality is we may fall short of that mark. And what we begin to do is lose faith in ourselves. We begin to lose faith in our ability to do what we say we're going to do, especially when it comes to health and wellness. So the idea of just doing something very small, even if it's going down to do 5 push-ups, 3 push-ups, do 1 push-up, get down and do 1 push-up. And I assure you, just in the because you've gotten down and you've gone through the motions and you've put yourself in a position to be successful, you might surprise yourself and do 5 push-ups, or 7, or 10. And in doing that, you've exceeded your own expectation, which gives you encouragement to want to go and do more. So by just doing a little bit of something every day, even if it's a little bit better nutrition, a little bit more rest, a little bit less, you know, alcohol or whatever the case, you may not have to stop, or you may not have the willpower to stop cold turkey, but just incrementally increase the positive, incrementally decrease the negatives, and you'll see your life become greater, and the rest of your life will become the very best of your life.
Yeah, I think so often we have this all or nothing mentality when it comes to our health and our fitness. And if we think if we don't have this hour workout, it's not worth it. But that mentality doesn't get us anywhere. If we just do a little bit every single day, and that's that consistency factor. And consistency is always the biblical pattern for success. It's not how much you do. It's just consistency and quality. So I echo those words of encouragement from you, Jay, and I really appreciate you sharing that. So tell me a little bit more about where my listeners can find out more about you. I know you talked a lot about that book that you have that sounds incredible, and it sounds like that could be very helpful to a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can find more information, of course, at thefitnessminister.com, thefitnessminister.com. And of course, the book website is alittlebitofsomething.today. Again, that's www.alittlebitofsomething.today. And all social media handles, you can find me at The Fitness Minister. The Fitness Minister on Instagram, YouTube, and I believe Jay Jones Fitness on Facebook, Jay Jones Fitness on Facebook. So, and I would love to interact and talk with anyone. We do have online Skype training. So no matter where you live in this big, beautiful world, if you have an internet connection, we certainly can connect as well. So you can find me on Skype, or you can just go straight to Jay Jones Fitness or thefitnessminister.com. And there's more information there. We can connect.
Great. great. Thank you for sharing that. And just as a reminder, that there is an article on Faith and Fitness magazine, which can be found at faithandfitness.net. And it's an interview with Jay and his wife. It's called Taking the Limits Off. So I want to encourage everybody to go check that out. And I want to thank you, Jay, for coming on the Divine Wellness Academy podcast.
Oh, Troy, thank you so much, my dear friend. It's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and I'd love to do it again when the time and the opportunity presents itself.
Absolutely, and I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast. I appreciate everybody being a faithful listener, and I look forward to talking to you next time on the Divine Wellness Academy podcast. Everybody, have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Divine Wellness Academy podcast. We're building a movement with faith and fitness, and we're just getting started. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave a helpful review on iTunes, because it really helps the podcast grow so we can impact even more people around the world who need this. This is all about being at your best in mind, body, and spirit. Go to TroyIsmir.com. That's TroyIsmir.com. To learn more about the Divine Wellness Academy, Troy Izmir is the founder of the Divine Wellness Academy and can be reached at troy@troyizmir.com. Thank you for being a faithful listener. Until we talk again, keep your spirit and your body aligned, just as God wants you to.